All right, Jabosai, good morning. Good morning, good morning. So wonderful to see such a beautiful and robust olam. And with that, let us begin a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today with a little bit of halacha, a little bit of agarta, one-stop shopping, everything one needs. Ultimately, again, we're going to find in today's daf. Our shir this morning is dedicated by our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Teves, by Shirley Elbaum, together with her sons, Avron, Sean, and Judah Elbaum, and their families. In memory of their beloved husband and father, Jerry Elbaum, in commemoration of his 10th yard site, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Nisham will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. And above that, we thank Mayor and Adina Schwartzbaum for dedicating to this morning's daf in memory of Adina's grandfather, Menachem Moshe Ben Yaakov, Zichrono Lebracha, and in recognition of his sacrifice for Kavod HaTorah. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Nisham will have an aliyah and his family in Nechama. And above that, with that, let us begin. So today's daf is Daf Tes. We left off five lines up from the bottom, in the middle of the line. V'amr of Acha bar Chanina, Amr of Yeshua ben Levi, Halacha, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So, as you remember again in yesterday's daf, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai made a dramatic statement. He said, sometimes a person could say Kriya Shema twice at night, once before Alos, once before dawn, and once after dawn, and ultimately again satisfy his obligation for Kriya Shema Shel Arvis and Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. The Kriya Shema Shel Arvis ultimately before dawn, before Alos, Kriya Shema Shel Shachris after Alos. Snav Acha Bar Chanina says, Da'aloch HaFalz V'Mashir Ba'yachai. So we'll say, which is actually something really quite fascinating, which tells us that halacha lemaisa, dawn seems to be the divider. Dawn is the divider, right? Alos. Before dawn is night, therefore they say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. After dawn, ultimately, again, is going to be day, and therefore Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. Now remember, again, as we pointed out in yesterday's daf, it's quite possible that still in other respects, the post-dawn period, the period between dawn, Alos, and Netzach Hamah, may still have an identity as night. But remember again, for Kriya Shema, it's not as much that I need daytime. Rather, what do I need? Uvikumecha. I need it to be a time that people are getting up. And since after dawn is a time that people are getting up, therefore, halacha lemaisa, one could say Kriya Shema. So the Gemara says, "Iki demasni laha drav acha bar Chanina." Aha. Others explain that Rav Acha bar Chanina's statement was really stated regarding the following brisa, the Sanyo. The Rishon Mayachan was. We're going to see now an alternate version of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's statement. So Amar Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Pamim Sha'adam Kori Kriya Shema Shtei Pamim Bayom. Sometimes it happens that a person could say Shema twice by day. Achos kodem haneitzach hamah, v'achos la'achar haneitzach hamah, one before sunrise and one after sunrise. V'yotzei bohen yedei chavaso achos shal yom v'achos shal laila. And yet again, he could fulfill his obligation again, one time by day and one time at night. So I will say the idea being that in this version, the discussion underway is not about alos, but rather about nates. Before nates, ultimately again, will be nighttime. After nates will be daytime. So the Gemara says, one second. The problem is, the statement is explicitly problematic. Hagufa kasha, amrit pamim shadam kori kriya shtei pamim bayom. Alma kodim haneitzach hamah yimamahu. But say, here's the problem. On one hand, the Braisa says that sometimes a person could say Kriya Shema twice by day, which tells us that what? Before Netzach Hamah, before sunrise, is already daytime. And then Bahadur Tani, Yotzei Bahen Yedei Chavaso Achashah V'Achas Balayla, Amalaylahu. But then you tell me that if you say Shema before Netzach Hamah, that could count as Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, which tells me that before Nates, before sunrise, is nighttime. So we'll say, which one is it? Is before Nates Laila or Yom? To which the Gemara says, Tap of Tess, the Olam Yimamahu. In reality, ultimately, again, even before Nates is already day. V'hai the Karu Le Laila, but we call it night. Why? The Ika Inchi the Ganu Bahi Shaita. Because it will say, same idea before. Since before sunrise, there are still people who are sleeping. Therefore, technically speaking, ultimately, we could call it what? B'shach Becha. Call it B'shach Becha. So we'll say two different versions of the statement of Rashbi. Am Rebach Rabbi Chanin Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi. Halacha Kreb Shimon Shomishon Rabbi Akiva. Ultimately, again, the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the name of Rabbi Akiva. Namely, again, about saying this last version that a person could technically say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis up until sunrise, and immediately after sunrise, then go ahead and say Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. The Gemara gives an important qualifier. However, Amar Rabbi Zeira Ubilbad Shelo Yomar Hashkivenu. Shabbos, interestingly enough, he's going back before that Aloch Elamaisa. If you're going ahead and you're saying Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis close to dawn, look at Rashi. Ubilbad Shelo Yomar Hashkivenu. Hakori Kriyat Shema Shalayla Shachris Samoch Lamud Hashachar Lo Yomar Hashkivenu Shein Od Zman Tchilas Shiva Ela Sof Shiva. So we'll say, remember again, the paragraph Hashkivenu literally means that Kodesh Baruch Hu allow us to go to sleep in a state of peace. That paragraph is only said at the beginning of the night or at a time that people are going to sleep. If you're saying Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis so late, right before dawn, although technically speaking it's still nighttime, so therefore you could still say Shema, you could still daven Ma'ariv, but you would omit the paragraph of Hashkivenu. So we'll say, so the Gemara goes weiter. So Ki Asra Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef Amar Had Rabbi Acha Rabbi Chanina Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi Lav Beferush Itmar. We'll say this statement of saying Kriyat Shema so late, or I should say so close to the early morning, was not explicitly stated. Rather, again, it was understood through an episode. So the Gemara says, Ela Michlala Itmar, Dahi Zuga Drabanan, De Ishtakar Behilula, De Braid Rabbi Shimon Levi, because we'll say they were a pair of rabbis who became a bit inebriated at the wedding of the son of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. And as a result, right, Rashi says, the ishtakir, the yashnu v'nirdimu ad la'achar amud ha'shachar. Nervosi, what ended up happening is, they drank a bit at the wedding, they fell asleep, they woke up after alos, but before nates. Right, so they woke up again after dawn, but before sunrise. They came to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Us look at Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, and they said, Amar, Sobosei, so they said, what should we do? Amar kedayu Rabbi Shimon, lismoch alav b'shas adchak. And they say you could rely on Rabbi Shimon b'shas adchak. Rabbi Shimon b'yochai. So I'll say, so as long as it's before sunrise, b'shas adchak, you can go ahead and rely on Rabbi Shimon b'yochai. So I'll say, so what do we pass in halacha l'maisa? Because the truth is, this is really quite fascinating. The discussion over here is until what point? What is the latest point that one could recite Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis? So I'll say, so the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Kriyat Shema in Simin Nun Ches quotes the following halacha. Im ne'anas v'lo kare kriya shema arvis ad sha'ala amud ha'shachar kevan sha'adayin lo ha'netzach hama kore kriya shema v'yotze ba yidei chovas kriya shema arvis. So we'll say, amazingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that halacha l'maisa, if, now, the qualification of this halacha is very important, that this is ne'anas, right? The Shulchan Aruch says that if because of extenuating circumstances, you were unable to recite Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis earlier in the evening. And now, Rabbos, this is very important. Let's take a step back. What is the real end of the Zman for Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis? The real end of the Zman? Alos. Dawn. Right? You can say Kriyat Shema again from Seisa Kochavim up until Alos. Shulchan Aruch now is introducing a new halacha, which says that if because of some extenuating circumstance, you did not say Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis before Alos, then what? As long as it's not yet Nate's sunrise, you could still say Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. So we'll say this is a dramatic halacha, a dramatic halacha. So now, even though it's after dawn, as long as it's before sunrise, you could still go ahead and say Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. But Rabosai, this halacha could only be employed, could only be utilized when? In a case of ones, extenuating circumstance, which I will say, so the Rishonim bring up something very interesting. You see over here, by the way, that drinking too much is an ones, right? In other words, I will say, all serious, listen to this. You would have thought that what? You would have thought that drinking too much and falling asleep and right, waking up after dawn but before nates is what? It's not an ones, right? You decided to drink, right? You decided to drink that amount. So that's not an ones. But you see over here that halacha l'maisa, that drunkenness, falling asleep as a result of drinking too much, also falls into the category of ones, because that's the example that was brought over here. That actually has other ramifications in halacha, which is not our topic for today. But again, halacha l'maisa, if because of extenuating circumstances, I don't end up saying Shema before alos, before dawn, I can go ahead and say it up until Netzach Hama, up until sunrise. But the caveat, of course, to that but of course, I will say, once you utilize that time between dawn and Netzach Hama to go ahead and recite Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, so what can't I do? I then can't go ahead and use that time for Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. Because Rabbi said the previous sif in the Shulchan Aruch says that although, again, we're going to discuss this today, that one really should not say Kriya Shema Shel Shachris as early as Alos, as early as dawn. Technically speaking, if you did it as of Alos, ultimately, again, you're Yotzei. But Rabbi say, so what you begin to see is that period between Alos and Nates could kind of go both ways. Sometimes it can be utilized as part of night, sometimes it can be utilized as part of day, but on any given day, you can only utilize it in one direction. So I suppose say, so if again I fell asleep, I can't go ahead and now utilize that period of time to say Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, and then immediately afterwards, or I should say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, and then afterwards use it for Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. Once you've used it for Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, then you'd have to wait until after sunrise in order to go ahead and say Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. So it's like a very, very, very important halacha. Ideally, Kriya Shema Shel Arvis goes until Alos dawn, but b'di'evet, if there's an extenuating circumstance, even up until Meitzach Hamah. Incredible. But we'll say, let's go back there. We're going to take company after the shir. After the shir. So let's say, so the Gemara says as follows. It's okay. How are you supposed to know? You're from New York. You know what? It's not that you know these things. So let's say, so says the Gemara. So Maisa Shabbat. So let's say, so the Gemara goes right there. So remember again, the Mishnah then quotes a story, right? The Mishnah quotes a story that Rabbi Gamliel writes, Rabbi Gamliel, Masha Ba'obanav. So also remember again, Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah says that you can say Kriyashma until when? Until Alos HaShachar. That was Rabbi Gamliel. The Gemara then tells a story that his sons came back. Actually, again, I'm also saying it's interesting, all of these stories happen by weddings, people drinking too much at weddings. So, right, his sons come back. In this case, they didn't necessarily drink too much. They were just celebrating until late, until the night. So they come to him, and they say, Father, what should we do? And he says, not a problem. As long as it's not yet alos, you can go ahead and say Kriya Shema. To which the Gemara says, this is incredible. So we'll say, the Gemara finds it interesting that Rabbi Gamliel's own sons don't know the position of their father. In other words, that what? They never heard the position of their father before? That halacha l'maisa, Rabbi Gamliel says you could still say Kriya Shema until alos, that they're coming in and asking the question. Rabbi said, Twitch, the Gemara says, no. Hachi kamrile. This is what they're asking him. Rabbanon pligi iluach, v'yachid ram halacha kirabim, Odilma Rabbanon Kavasach Asivir Lahu, Vahai Dekamri at Chatzos Kede Laharchik Adam Min Ha'Avera. We'll say what they were asking him was the following question. Father, when the Rabbanon argue on you, is it really a machlokes that the Rabbanon say until Chatzos, you until midnight, you say until dawn? Now, both say generally the way the halacha works is what? Yochid v'rabim, when you have a machlokes in the individual and a group and a collective, the halacha always follows who? The majority, the rabbim. So were they saying, Father, this is your position, but the rabbis argue on you, the rabbis are the majority, you're the minority, so the halacha doesn't follow you? Or is it that the rabbis really hold like you? The rabbis agree that technically speaking, you could really say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis until when? Ultimately, again, until Alos, but again, to kind of create a little bit of a safety zone, a buffer, they told you to back it up till Chatzos. So ultimately, again, that's what Rabbi Gamliel then explains to his sons. No, the rabbis actually hold like me, that in reality, you could recite Kriya Shema Shel Arvis all the way until when? All the way until Alos HaShachar dawn, and the only reason they said until Chatzos was Kedei Laharchik Adam Min Ha'Avera. V'lo Zul Bilvad Amru Ela. So once you remember again, the Mishnah then goes on to say, and by the way, this is not the only case, but any time what? Any time we go ahead and we see that the halacha says that you can only fulfill a particular mitzvah until Chatzos, it almost never means really until Chatzos. Rather, when does it mean until? Until the next morning, until dawn. But they said until Chatzos, and like Kedei Laharchik Adam Min Ha'Avera. So says the Gemara of Rabbi Gamliel, Mika Amar Ad Chatzos, Diktani V'lo Zubil. So the Mishnah reads in a strange fashion. But remember how the Mishnah reads. Rabbi Gamliel says his position, until Alos HaShachar. The Mishnah then tells a story, right? Of Rabbi Gamliel's sons coming back late, and him telling them that you can say Kriya Shema up until Chatzos. Up until Alos. And then Rabbi said, the Mishnah then goes on and says, and by the way, any time the rabbi said until Chatzos, they really meant until Alos. But the way it seems to read is that ultimately, again, it's going on the statement of Rabbi Gamliel. But Rabbi Gamliel himself never said anything about Chatzos. Rabbi Gamliel's position was about Alos. Rabbi Gamliel, Mika Amar Ad Chatzos, Diktani Velozu Bilbad. So the Gemara says, Amar Halki Kamar Rabbi Gamliel Lubnei. But this is what Rabbi Gamliel was saying to his sons. Afila L'Rabbanan Dekamri Ad Chatzos, Mitzvah Sa'ad Shiya'ala Amud HaShachar. So we'll say this is what, ultimately, again, Rabbi Gamliel was saying to his sons. Even the rabbis who hold until Chatzos don't really hold until Chatzos. They hold what? Mitzvah Ad Shiya'ala Amud HaShachar. They ultimately hold that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis really goes until Alos, until dawn. V'hai Dikha Amri Ad Chatzos. So why did they say until Chatzos? K'day Laharchik Adam min ha'avera, in order to distance one from sinning. So I will say, so what the Gemara is just explaining over here is that in the Mishnah itself, Rabbi Gamliel explains to his sons not just the psak halacha, he doesn't just have psak halacha, but he ultimately tells them that even the rabbis really agree with me. Even the rabbis who say until chatzos don't really mean until chatzos, but ultimately, again, rather mean until alos. Ah, so if they mean until alos, then why do they say until chatzos? Kedei laharchik adam min ha'avera, to give a person a buffer. But say human nature is, we often walk the line, which is fine, that's human nature. Therefore, what do? Move the line back. So this way, even if someone goes in and falls on the wrong side of the line, they are still ultimately within the confines of halacha. Incredible. Not recommended, correct. Hektir chalavim. So we'll say, listen to this. So remember again, the Mishnah then goes on and gives examples of this. So the Mishnah says, for example, Hektir chalavim ve'ebara mitzvasan at shia alam od ha-shachar. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, we burn the fat and leftover limbs. Right? So remember again, you offer up a carbon, and then you have leftover fats and limbs. What do you do with those fats and limbs? You burn them on the altar. When do you burn them until? Until the following morning. So the Gemara points out something amazing. V'ilu achilas psachim lo katani. The Rebbe said, do you know what's missing from this Mishnah? There is no mention of Karban Pesach, right? Why isn't Karban Pesach mentioned as something that is offered up by day and can be consumed until the night, until the following morning, until the following alos? Karban Pesach should be in there. Or minu. So the Gemara says, raise a kasha. Kriyashma arvis. So nighttime Shema, v'halel b'leile Pesachim, and halel on the night of Pesach, v'achilas Pesach, and the consumption of the Karban Pesach itself, mitzvasan ad shiya'ala amud ha-shachar. You are allowed to go ahead and eat Karban Pesach until when? Until dawn. Shabbos says, so what you are the Gemara is asking, when you're going ahead and bringing up examples of sacrificial service that can be done until dawn, you don't have to just bring up the burning of the fats and limbs. Why don't you bring up Karban Pesach itself? Right? Karban Pesach itself can be consumed until dawn. Why don't you mention this in the Mishnah? To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef lo kashya, ha Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, ha Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi said, the window of consumption for the Paschal and for Karban Pesach in and of itself is subject to machlokes. Tisanya, because we're going to brisa, Rabbi said, incredible Gemara. Va'achu es ha-basar ba'layla hazeh. You shall eat the meat this night, referring to the Karban Pesach on the night of Pesach. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, first of all, say, first wide line, Tesam Adalif. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, ne'amar kan ba'layla hazeh. So we'll see, we find the phrase Laila Hazeh, this night, in two different places. We find it by the consumption of the Karban Pesach, that's number one. And we find it where else? By Makas Bechoros, the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn. Ma lahalon ad chatzos. So we'll say, when did Makas Bechoros take place? When did it take place? At midnight. Bro, remember again, that was last week's daf. Kichatzos, bichatzos, and it happened at midnight. So, ma lahalon ad chatzos. Afkan ad chatzos. So, I will say, just like the verbiage of alayla hazeh by Makas Bechoros tells me that when does it take place? Midnight? So, to layla hazeh by consumption of Karban Pesach limits consumption until when? Ultimately, again, until midnight. So, both say that is the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That Aloha Lamaisa, you can eat Karban Pesach until midnight. Amrali Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, 1 second. Valo kvar ne'emar b'chipazon. Rabbi Elazar, the pasuk says that you shall go ahead and eat Karban Pesach. V'achaltim also b'chipazon. Rabbi Elazar, now what does chipazon literally mean? With haste. So Rabbi Akiva says, what does chipazon mean? Ad shas chipazon, until the time of haste. What does the time of haste refer to? Say, look at Rashi. Rashi is right across from Tosfos, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Shas chipazon, shenichbezu latseis. V'hainu, Amud HaShachar. Rabbi Akiva says, the Torah says you should eat the Karan Pesach b'chipazon with haste. Haste means until the time of haste. What's the time of haste? The time that we left Egypt. When do we leave Egypt, Rabbi Osai? Dawn. Avos HaShachar. Dev Rabbi Akiva says that halacha l'maisa, you can go ahead and eat Karban Pesach up until Alos HaShachar, up until dawn. So I'll say, amazingly enough, fundamental halachos, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says consumption of Karban Pesach is until when? Until Chatzos, Gzeir Shava with Makas Bachoros. Rabbi Akiva saying you can eat it until dawn, at Shas Chipozor, until the time that we left Egypt with haste. Incredible. Im Kain, Ma Tamalomar. So actually, before we go on, so therefore, again, it appears that our Mishnah, which does not quote Karban Pesach among the sacrificial things that can be done until dawn, clearly subscribes to the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that ultimately, again, Karban Pesach can only be consumed until midnight. As it says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, Yuhu Darshan Chipazon, to tell me that I can eat Karban Pesach until the time of haste, until the time that we leave Egypt, in Cain, Ma Tamud Lomar Balayla. So why does ultimately again the Torah say Balayla Hahu? Right, Balayla Hazeh. What does that come to teach me? So this is very interesting. Yochel Yehin Nechol Kikatshim Bayom, because you might have thought, what's this? Karban Pesach is falls under the sacrificial category of what we call Kachim Kalim. Kachim Kalim can normally be consumed during the day as well. So you might have thought that Karban Pesach could be consumed by day, just like other Kachim Kalim. Tamud Lomar Balayla. Karban Pesach could be eaten by day, at night, but not by day. So Bishlom of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is like Gzeira Shava, it's Rech Lemichtav Lehazeh. So it was according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who requires the Gzeira Shava. I understand ultimately again why I need the word Hazeh. Because we'll say, what does Hazeh do? Hazeh is part of the Gzeir Shava. It says, Laila Hazeh by Makas Bechoros. Laila Hazeh, ultimately again by Karban Pesach. Just like by Makas Bechoros, it happened by midnight, at midnight. So to Karban Pesach, it'll be consumed by midnight. Ay, El Rabbi Akiva. Hai Hazeh, my Ovidle. What does Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Osei? Remember again, Rabbi Akiva, I understand why he needs Laila. Laila teaches they can only be eaten by night and not by day. But why does he need the word Hazer? Boss, this is incredible. Lemiute Laila Acher. Boss, say Zeh teaches me that what Karban Pesach can only be consumed when that night and no other night. Why? Tzakadait Chamina, because I would have thought Hoil Upesach Kachim Kalim. Boss, remember as we said before, Karban Pesach falls into the category of Kachim Kalim. But remember again, without getting too much into this now, remember from our Zvachim days, Aminochos days, there are two different categories of Karbanos. There's what's called Kachim Kalim, right, and Kachim Kadoshim. So Kachim Kalim, Rabosai Kishmo, we'll call it a less intense form of sanctity, versus Kachim Kadoshim, which have a more intense form of sanctity. So Pesach is under the category of Kachim Kalim, lesser sanctity. So I'm going to thought this follows. So the Gemara says, Pesach Kachim Kalim, Ushlamim Kachim Kalim. So we'll say Shlamim is another example of a carbon that has Kachim Kalim. Mashlamim Ne'echal Lishnei Yomim Ve'layla Echad. Shlamim is consumed for 2 days and one night. Af Pesach Ne'echal Shtei Leilos B'makum Biz Yomim. I might have thought that I know I can't eat Karban Pesach by day. But we'll say, how do I know that I can't eat Karban Pesach by day? How do I know that? Laila. Right? So, but since Pesach is Kachim Kalim, I might have thought that instead of getting a day, maybe what does Pesach get? Two nights. Two nights, no daytime consumption, but maybe two nights. Maybe it gets two nights in one day. Kamash malon balayla hazeh. Balayla hazehu neachal, v'inu neachal balayla acher. Therefore, we'll say, even Rabbi Akiva will need the Laila Hazeh to teach me that what? That Allah Chalamaisa, Karban Pesach is only consumed one night and only on this night. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, milo sosiru ad boker nafka. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah learns this out from the phrase, you may not leave anything over until the morning. But Rabbi Akiva, ime hasam, if you would have learned it out from the phrase of Balayla, I'm sorry, lo sosimina boker, don't leave over until the morning, I'm going to suppose this is incredible. Havamina, my boker, what does boker mean? Maybe boker means Boker Sheni. In other words, the morning after the second night. Rabbi Elazar Amar Lecha Kol Boker Boker Rishon. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says no. Every morning, ultimately, again means the first morning. So, Bosai, what we are left with is a fundamental Yisodistic machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah about the window of consumption for Karban Pesach. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah teaching me that halacha lemaisa. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah teaching me that halacha lemaisa is until chatzos, until midnight. Rabbi Akiva teaching me ultimately that it's until alos, until dawn of the first day of Pesach. We've now seen both of their respective drashas. So we'll say, so just so we keep our eye on the ball, why are we getting into this now? Because remember again, the Mishnah gave me examples of sacrificial service that could only be that could be performed until dawn. And interestingly enough, in the Mishnah's example, what does it bring? Hector chalovim ve'evarim, the burning of leftover fats and limbs. What doesn't it bring? Karban Pesach, which seems to align itself with the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that Karban Pesach could only be done until Chatzos. Because if it was like Rabbi Akiva that it could be done until Alos, it should have gone on the Mishnah. V'hani tanoim kani tanoim. We'll say now the Mishnah, the Gemara says, by the way, these tanoim, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, are like this other machlokes tanoim. This sanya sham tizbach es haPesach ba'erev kivo haShemesh moed seischam mitzrayim. We'll say beautiful pasuk. The Pasuk says that ultimately, again, you shall go ahead and offer up the Karban Pesach. This is supposed to say, this is in Devarim. Sham Tizbach as a Pesach be'erev, kivo ha-shemesh, moed seischam mitzrayim. And this is actually quite amazing. If you look at the Pasuk itself seems to be inherently contradictory. Because look at the words. Sham Tizbach as a Pesach be'erev. You shall offer it up in the Erev, kivo ha-shemesh. Now remember, again, these terms are a little bit fluid. What does Erev mean? Erev can mean afternoon. Erev can mean later on in the evening. Kavo HaShemesh can mean sunset or it can mean nightfall. Moed Tseischa Mitzrayim, the time that you left Egypt. When did we leave Egypt? In the morning. But it's very important, right? So again, remember, just so you understand the Pesach, the Yitzias Mitzrayim timeline, Makas Bechoros happens at Chatzos. When Makas Bechoros is happening, what are we doing? Eating, of course, right? We're eating, right? Right? Egypt is dying, we're eating. So remember again, the Shaila then becomes how long did our eating go on for? Did our eating take place kind of around nighttime and end at Chatzos? Or did our eating go on until morning or until dawn? But everyone agrees we left Egypt at dawn. Shabbos, when you look at this pasuk, it's hard to understand what the pasuk is conveying to us. So you shall offer up the Karban Pesach be'erev, in the evening, kevah shemesh, nightfall, when you left Egypt. So what exactly is happening? So watch this. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the Lozer says, here's how he dashed in the Pasuk. Be'erev ata zoveach. In the afternoon, I'll say in this context, Erev doesn't mean evening, rather it means afternoon. In the afternoon is when you offer up the Karban Pesach. Ukivo HaShemesh ata ochel. And at night is when you eat the Karban Pesach. Umoed seischa mitzrayim ata sorif. And at the time that you left Egypt, i.e. by when? By dawn, is when you burn whatever is left over. So Rabbi Elazar ultimately again subscribing to the position of Rabbi Akiva, namely again, shecht in the afternoon, eat at night, and you could eat until when? Ultimately again, you could go ahead and eat all the way up until Moed Tischam and Mitzrayim, but by dawn you must burn the leftovers. Rabbi Shua Omer Ba'erev Ata Zoveach. Ultimately, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Rabbi Elazar is actually, we're going to see, subscribing to the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Shomer, Ba'erev Ata Zoveach, in the evening, in the afternoon, you slaughter it. Kevo HaShemesh Ata Ochel, at night you eat it. Va'ad Masei Ata Ochel V'Holech, and until what point in time can you continue to eat it? Ad Moed Tseischa Mimitzrayim. So I suggest you appreciate over here what's happening. Rabbi Yeshua says, you can eat it until when? Ad Moed, until we left Egypt up until dawn. So we'll say, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, you can eat it until Chatzos. And when do you burn the leftovers? Ultimately, again, Moed is Chamashayim by dawn. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. You shecht it in the afternoon, eat it at night, and when can you eat it until? up until the time we left Egypt. So the Gemara is just pointing out over here that the machlokes Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva is also machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. So we'll say fundamental machlokes, ultimately again, up until when you are permitted to go ahead and eat the Karban Pesach. Rabbi Yosef, how do we paskin? So the Rambam paskins halacha lamaisa like Rabbi Akiva, namely that Karban Pesach can be consumed until Alos HaShachar. You can consume the Karban up until dawn of the first day of Pesach. At that point in time, whatever is left over must be burned. Rabbi Yosef, which is actually quite interesting because again, the halacha dictates that for us, that's what? Afikoman, which is consumed in the place of the Karban Pesach, must be finished until when? By Chatzos. So just an interesting idea. I just want to point out that that's how we're knowing by Afikoman, but in the purest sense, the Rambam Paskins and Hilchos Karban Pesach, that you could actually go ahead and eat the Karban Pesach up until dawn of the first day of Pesach. Incredible. But now the Gemara, a little bit of Agarata. I'm Rabbi Abba. Hakom Modim. This is actually very interesting. Everyone agrees that ultimately, again, when we were redeemed in the evening. Shene Emar, Hutziach Hashem Elokecha Mitzrayim Laila. God took us out of Egypt at night. Ukeshe Yatsu, Lo Yatsu Ela Bayom. Shene Emar, Mimacharas HaPesach Yatsu Bnei Yisrael B'Yad Rama. So we'll say, so what's happening over here is as follows. So freedom, right? Rashi is saying, Geula, redemption, took place at night, but Exodus took place not until the dawn. Which is interesting. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is like this. We were free while we were still in Egypt, right? Already by the nighttime, by night of Pesach, during Makkos Bechoros, we are effectively free. But Exodus, right, actually leaving Egypt, does not take place ultimately again until the following morning. So we'll say, which by the way, if you think about it, is an incredible mussar. Sometimes we think that freedom means the full extrication from difficult circumstances. But sometimes so much of success in living is finding the ability to find freedom while you're still in your Mitzrayim. Right? Absolute exodus is incredible when you're taken out of your circumstance in totality. But a lot of times I have to find my geula even in the midst of my Mitzrayim. Unless you think that it's impossible, it's not. Vaharaya, Klal Yisrael is considered to be free already midnight of the night before we left. We experienced freedom while still sitting in the land of Egypt. We were not actively taken out until the following morning. And that becomes an incredible metaphor for successful living. You can't always get out of Mitzrayim. So you have a choice. You could be miserable in Mitzrayim. You could be tzibrachan in Mitzrayim. You could complain in Mitzrayim. Or you could find a way to experience some geula, experience some ray of redemption, even in the midst of your personal Egypt. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Ama nechloku. So both say, what do they argue about? What do they argue about? This is very interesting. Shas chipazon. Both say, what they argue about is shas chipazon. What was considered to be the moment of faith? So both say, I just want to point out, this chipazon idea is quite fascinating. The chipazon idea is, chipazon when it comes from Karban Pesach, right? That the Torah says, that when eating the Karban Pesach, you have to eat it. V'kachalo tochlu oso, masnechem chagurim na'alechem braglechem, u'makalchem biyatchem, v'achaltem oso b'chipazon. The word chipazon comes in the context of the manner in which you consume Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach has to be consumed b'chipazon. So here's what we know what it doesn't mean. What doesn't it mean? It doesn't mean that you have to actually eat it quickly. Right? That's not what it means. But it means something about the behaviors in which you're consuming it have to be done b'chipazon. So the parsha pshat to the pasuk ultimately is that when you eat it, so as opposed to when you go ahead and you would normally eat a suda. Right, Rabbi, remember again, the Gemara says, how do you sit down and eat a suda? You sit down in a chair, you recline, and the Gemara says, what else did you do? You unbuckled your belt, right? That means mamish. I'm hitting a muchan and a zuman, right? That mamish. I'm getting ready for something overwhelming over here. So that by Karban Pesach you didn't do that. By Karban Pesach you ate. Your shoes were on. Your staff was in your hand. You were ready to go. You're ready to go. So the Gemara says the machlokis over here is what is the shas chipazon that we are referring to? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah savar my chipazon de Mitzrayim. Rabbi Akiva Sefer Maichi Pazon Chipazon Di Yisrael. So both say, interestingly enough, there's a machlokis over here. Is it the Chipazon of the Jews or the Chipazon of the Egyptians? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Last line in Rashi, Chipazon de Mitzrayim, Makas Habachorim Sha'al Yodam, Nechpezu Lamai L'Shalcham. So we'll say, do we say that the Chipazon was at midnight? Because that was the Chipazon of Mitzrayim. Because what happened at midnight? What happened at midnight? Makas Bechoros. Torah tells us, what happened in the aftermath of Makas Bechoros? What happened? What was the Egyptians' posture towards the Jewish people? Get out. Get out and get out now. So do we say that Chipazon reflects the Shas Chipazon of the Mitzrim? Or is it Chipazon the Yisrael? Both say, again, when was our Chipazon? Rashi says, Lo Shomer, let's say at Boker. Our Chipazon is when? By dawn. So both say, it's actually very interesting. So what is the Shas Chipazon that is reflected in the consumption of the Karan Pesach? Is it midnight? In which case it's Chipazon the Mitzrayim? Or dawn Chipazon of Yisrael? So Tanya Am Hachir, Rabbi said supports this. The Gemara says, "Hakotz Yachar Shol Kecham Mitzrayim Laila." God took us out of Egypt by night. So Gemara says, "Is that true?" V'chiba Laila Yatzu. Did we leave Egypt that night? V'alo Lo Yatzu Ela Vayom. We only left Egypt by day. Shneamar Mimacharas HaPesach Yatzu Bnei Yisrael Biyad Rama. On the day after Pesach, which really means Rabbi say, meaning the morning after they offered up the Karban Pesach, we went out with a strong hand. Ela Melamed Sheschila Lahem Geula Mibaeref. Now the Rabbos say, what does it mean? It means ultimately, again, that although we did not go out until daybreak or until dawn, ultimately, again, Geula began at night. And the Rabbos say, just appreciate the profundity of that statement. Rabbos say, the Geula, the redemption that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs for us, we often think that Geula occurs when we see it. But what the Gemara is telling us is, Geula hischila miba'erev. Even when it looks darkest, whether this is on a personal level or on a national level, even when it looks darkest and most overwhelming, just understand, Geula is already starting. We think Geula redemption begins when we could see it. But in reality, the Gemara tells us, El Melamed Sheschila Lahem Geula Miba'erev. Geula redemption for individuals and as a collective already begins while it's still dark outside. So we'll say two yisodistic lessons. Number one, that ultimately a person has to learn to be the kind of person who is able to experience personal redemption while still in the midst of Mitzrayim. Everybody could experience redemption when you're taken out of your Egypt. But the goal in life is to find a ray of light, to find some level of redemption, to find some simcha, to find some geula, to find some or, even when you're sitting in your Mitzrayim. And to understand that geula begins even before we ever see a ray of light. Geula already begins when it's still dark outside. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already turning the wheels of Geula. Halacha l'maisa, we pass like Rabbi Akiva, namely, that Karban Pesach can be consumed up until Alos HaShachar. Beautiful. Let's see, the Gemara goes right. Now that we're on Pesach, so how can we let Pesach go? And it's almost Pesach. Says the Gemara, Dabar Nabaz Ne'am. Supposed to remember again. So the Mishnah, the Torah says to Klal Yisrael, when you're going out of Egypt, speak to the Egyptians. Dabar Nabaz Ne'am. Supposed to say the rest of the Pasuk over here is, Dabar Nabaz Ne'am, speaking to the ears of the Egyptians. V'yishalu ishme Esra'ehu, v'yishame Esra'u Zaklai Kesav Klai Zav. And every person should borrow, for every man from a man, everyone from a woman, clay cast of clay zav, right? Gold and silver utensils. Says the Gemara, Amdira, Amri, Debe Rabbi Yanai, Ain't na, Ela Lashon Bakasha. Now both say, na is a Lashon Bakasha. So just to give you the context over here, this pasuk is God speaking to Moshe, and God telling Moshe, go to the people and ask them to please ask the Egyptians for gold and silver. And I both say, now it's interesting. So it's almost like God is telling Moshe, you need to ask the people to do me a favor. And I both say, why would it be doing a favor for God to ask the Egyptians for gold and silver? The Pashtos, the Jews are going to want the gold and silver. So listen to this. Do a favor for God. Make sure to ask the Egyptians for gold and silver. Why? Listen to this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want Avraham Avinu having a taina on me. Right? Avraham Avinu should never claim against me. Because Avraham Avinu is going to say, listen, The servitude you fulfilled against my children. But the pasuk was said by Bris Ben Absarim, by the covenant between God and Avram. So God tells Avram, that your descendants are going to be strangers in a strange land, are going to be subdued for 400 years. But then afterwards it says, Va'acharekin, after the servitude, Yetzu birchosh gadol, they will go out with a great amount of property. So God says to Moshe, I don't want Avram having a tain on me, having a claim against me. That here, you fulfilled your word when it came to servitude, but yet what? When it came to leaving with great wealth, you didn't fulfill that. Therefore, please tell the Jewish people to go and to get gold and silver from the Egyptians. So let's listen to this. Amrulo, so when Moshe came and told this to the Jewish people, can you please go ask and go for gold and silver? They said back to Moshe, Ulevai shenetze ba'atzmenu. So this is incredible. The Jews said to Moshe, Moshe, we don't care about the gold and silver. Just get us out of here. Just get us out of here. It'd be enough for us just to get out. This is incredible. Mashallah adam shaykhav shereysa asurin. This is a mashal, this is a parable to a person who was incarcerated. So imagine a person that's incarcerated and people come and they say to him, listen, tomorrow we're going to take you out of jail. Not only that, we'll give you a lot of money. So we'll say, what does the jailed individual say? Listen, just take me out today and I don't need anything. Rabosai, so therefore Klal Yisrael almost have to be prodded to ask for gold and silver from the Egyptians in order to fulfill the promise that God made to Avraham. Rabosai, but if you think about it, by the way, what an incredible mashal. See, Rabosai, all of us know that in times of difficulty, we have absolute clarity as to what's important and what's not important. Right, Rabosai, you know, in those moments when either a person is ill or you have a loved one who's ill, In that moment, I know what's important, what's not important. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, somebody would give me a deal, here's your health, but you could have nothing else, I would take it in just a heartbeat. But we know what ends up happening. The crisis passes, and then kind of our priorities and what's important and what's unimportant becomes totally obscured again, right? When I'm in the Beis HaAsurim, right? When I'm incarcerated in my difficult circumstances, if somebody would say, listen, good news, tomorrow you'll get out and you'll have all of your brachas, I'd say, you know what? I don't need anything. Just get me out of the crisis right now. I don't need anything else. Everything else is unimportant. Crisis, right? Crisis passes, and then unfortunately, again, once again, my hashkafas achayim become blurred again. That clarity, I will say, this is sounds strange. The bracha of crisis, and the more intense the crisis, the greater the bracha, is life clarity. The challenge of life is holding on to that clarity once the crisis passes and life is back to normal. So the Gemara goes weiter. Vayashilum. So it was actually very interesting. So the Lashon of the Pesukim by the wealth of Egypt is always, V'Hashem nasan eschena am be'enei Mitzrayim. God gave favor of the Jewish people in the eyes of the Egyptians. Vayashilum. I will say, Vayashilum literally means they lent forcibly. What does that mean? They lent them gold and silver against their will. Now, I will say, the truth is, we often translate the word vayashilum as lent. If you look at the mafarshim on the pasuk, many of them don't translate it as lent, rather it means give. So I will say, against whose will is this happening? The Mitzrayim. Some say it was against the will of the Egyptians. The Israel. And others say it was against the will of the Jews. So we'll say again, against the will of the Egyptians, understand, because the Egyptians are being despoiled of all of their wealth. We'll say, but how could it be that getting gold and silver would be against the will of the Jews? We'll say, listen to this. Mishum masui. Because they'll say, what's going to happen? It's nice to get gold and silver, but then what? You have to carry it. And they'll say, by the way, think about this just a moment. Again, they'll say, these Gemaras, I owe you, I have to ask mechila from you, because the truth is, each of these Gemaras, they'll say, understand what this means? They'll say, everything that you take in life weighs you down. Everything you have in life weighs you down. You have to be so careful what you pack. They'll say, you ever see this? I mentioned this before on other, they'll say, you ever travel? I mentioned this in a show a little while ago. You ever go on a family trip, especially like if you have to go on a plane, and you know that like pit in your stomach because you're gonna have to get on the plane, and the kids are gonna hit everybody with their suitcases, and then there's the overhead bin, and it's not gonna fit, and the kids over here is this, and then you're gonna need like a lollipop 3 hours into the flight, and this, that, and that anxiety that you feel with all the luggage. And you know, then you see that guy, usually like the very, well-dressed business traveler who's like carrying just a carry-on that looks like a Ziploc, right? Looks like a Ziploc, and he's got everything he needs for a week in there, and it's fantastic, and he's going, and he's not schwitzing, and he's fine. He's holding a drink, and he's holding his thing, and you're like, I hate you. I hate you, right? And I would say, but I just want to tell you something. It's an incredible metaphor for life. There are some people that schlep around so much stuff. So much stuff. And it's true in materialism, and it's true in emotional baggage. And you carry around all of this stuff, and therefore every step you take, it's like such a tircha. It's such a tircha to get anywhere. Everything, my material, I'm attached to my materialism, so I'm so embedded, so shakua in it. So it goes in me everywhere, and my emotional baggage, it carries me everywhere. And then I'm about to say, there are some people in life who carry around very little. And the truth is, they get from point A to point B so quickly, so effortlessly. You know, if you carry around a lot of baggage, you can get to your destination, but it's going to take you a lot longer and with much greater anxiety. But if you decide what is important in life to take with me, and ultimately, again, what's better off being left behind, you can travel from point A to point B with so much greater ease and so much greater haste. So you see over here, even Klal Yisrael, say, you know what? I don't want gold and silver. I don't want it. I don't want it. It's good. It's valuable. It's beautiful. But right now, my mission and mandate in life is to get to Har Sinai, and then to get from Har Sinai to Eretz Yisrael. And I don't want to schlep around too much stuff because it's going to hold me back. Most of the Gemara goes weiter. Vaynatlus Mitzrayim. So we'll see. Interesting enough, the lashon of the pasuk over here, the English translation is often despoiled. I don't know what that means, but right, despoiled. Right, they cleaned out Egypt. So we'll say they made it like a trap with no grain. So we'll say they made it like a trap that has no fish. So we'll say, so again, you look in the Marashah and other places where they describe the different symbolisms in these ideas. But the idea is. That they cleaned out Egypt. Now, also, I just give a little homework. The interesting question to ponder in this is as follows. The Gemara here makes it sound like they totally cleaned out Egypt. Yet the Marsha raises the question that what? That we know that when the Egyptians ultimately, again, were destroyed by Yamsuf, there was what's called Bizas Hayam. There was the incredible wealth that washed up on the shores of Egypt. So it's interesting to note, although the Gemara over here makes it sound like they went ahead and they took all of the wealth of Egypt, it's clear that although they took a lot of the wealth, Egypt was so incredibly wealthy that there was still much wealth left over. Okay. So let's remember again, now we're on the Egyptian, the Exodus narrative. This is God speaking to Moshe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe, go and tell the people, Eya Asher Eya. This is in Chumash Shmos, right? This is by the burning bush. When God first introduces himself to Moshe, tells Moshe, go back to the people, tell them that I sent you. Moshe says, and who should I tell them sent me? So God says, tell them, Eya Asher Eya. Which literally translates as, I will be what I will be. Go and tell the Jewish people. What does Eya Asher Eya also mean? Ani hayisi imachem b'shibud zeh, v'ani Eya imachem b'shibud malchus. God says to Moshe, go tell the people, the God who was with you in this persecution in Egypt will be with you in first future persecutions as well. So Moshe says back to God, Amar lefan ribon sha'olam, daya litzara b'shaita. God. Let's take it easy over here, right? Let's not tell them about future persecutions, right? Let's just first get through this one. Ultimately, and we'll deal with future persecutions as well. And Abba HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with them. Amar Leah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Leich Amar Lahem, Ehya Shalachani Elechem. So mostly you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts Moshe Rabbeinu's argument. Dara Letzara B'Shaita. But say, let's not deal with too many difficulties at once. But rather, again, let's deal with the Egypt. Now we'll deal with future Shibud Malchus. Never Hashem Baruch Hu modifies it, not Eya Asher Eya, but rather what Eya Shlachani Lechem. We'll say another incredible message that sometimes in life we are faced with multiple challenges and multiple fronts. And what often happens is if a person tries to go ahead and deal with all of their challenges, most times we just get overwhelmed and usually end up shutting down. The best way to deal with life challenges, Daya. Litzara b'shaita. One challenge at a time. Deal with the challenge that's most acute right now, and then after you deal with that one, Amir Hashem, you move on to the others. Anini Hashem Anini. So, this is now Eliyahu HaNavi. So, we actually had this Gemara last week. Right to Eliyahu HaNavi. This is by Hara Carmel on Friday. Hara Carmel, when he was going ahead and having the religious showdown with the Nevi Habal. with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Remember again at Karbanos, and the Shiloh was what? Who was going to bring down a fire from the heavens first? So Eliyahu Navi says, Anini Hashem Anini. Answer me, God, answer me. Amar Rabbi Abba, Lama Amar Eliyahu Anini Beis Pamim. Why did Eliyahu Navi say, God, answer me twice? Malamed Sha'amar Eliyahu Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam. Anini Shetei Ish Min HaShamayim, V'Tochal Kol HaShar Al HaMizbeach. Va'anini Shatasiach Daitam Kidei Shelo Yomru Maisek Shafim Him. Shenemar, ultimately, again, Eliyahu Navi davens for two things. Number one, God, bring down the fire. Bring down the fire. Number two, don't let them think that it was sorcery that brought down the fire, but ultimately, again, that it was you, let them understand that it was you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who ultimately, again, allowed the fire to come down from the heavens. Incredible. Bosai Mishnah. So now that we did everything about Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis, next Mishnah, from when can you daven Kriyas Shema Shel Shachris? So we'll say, what's the halacha? Mishayakar ben Tcheles Lalavan. When you could tell the difference between Tcheles, we'll say, so again, we'll discuss which Tcheles, when Tcheles, we'll discuss all of this. Or you tell the difference between Tcheles, blue and white. So we'll say, when there is enough light on the horizon to be able to tell the difference between blue and white. Rabbi Eliezer Oren ben Tchilas Lekarsi. But Allah says, no, not between blue and white, but rather what? Between blue and green. Now, Bosse, now understand, you need more light to tell there's a thing blue and green than between blue and white. So Rabbi Eliezer is clearly saying a later time. A later time. The Gomra Adonai Tzachama. And Allah says, you should try to finish Shema by when? By sunrise. Again, we'll see what that is as well. Rabbi Shua says, no, at Shalosh Shos, you have until 3 hours into the day to recite Shema. Where do we get that from? Shekein derech melachem lamot kishalosh shos. Because folks, remember again, as much as we often think that Kriyas Shema Shel Shachris and Shel Arvis is embedded in the constructs of day and night, in reality, it's really embedded in the construct of what? B'shach b'cha u'v'kumecha. So therefore, Bosai comes on Rabbi Yeshua and says, no, you could say Shema up until 3 hours into the day. Why? Because that's still called Zman Kima. That's called the time when people are getting up. Aye, who's sleeping 3 hours past sunrise? Who could ever hear of such a thing like that? Oh, royalty. Only royalty sleeps that late, Rabbi Yeshua. Ah, you're going to tell now, we're all B'nai Malachim, right? Every Jew is royalty. Save your drushes or something. So ultimately, again, royalty sleeps that late, but because royalty sleeps that late, that's still called Zman Kima. That's still called the time when people are getting up. Therefore, Allah Almighty says, you can go out and say Shema. Mikan ve'ilach, Rabbi say, what happens if you overslept, or whatever reason, you missed the first 3 hours of the day? So what says, we're going to see under those circumstances, if you have not said Shema within the first 3 hours of the day, you can still say Shema, but you are not fulfilling the biblical mitzvah of Kriyas Shema Shel Shachris. Rather what? You're learning Torah. Reciting Shema after the prescribed time is no different than learning any other Pesukim of Torah, which you get reward for Talmud Torah, but you do not fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema Shel Shachris. So we'll say, let's analyze. My bein tchilas lama. So we'll say, so remember again, the first opinion the Mishnah said, that Allah l'mayis, you can begin to recite the morning Shema, where there is enough light to be able to see the difference between blue and white. My tchilas lama. So if you're telling me the difference between a ball of blue string, right, or blue wool, and a ball of white wool, we'll say, you could tell the difference between that even at night. I was going to say, when you clearly have two balls of wool, right, one of blue, one of white, next to each other, you even at night you could tell the difference, right? The Gemara says, Ella, bein tcheles Shabbat lelavan Shabbat. Rather, I'll say what it means is, no, if you have a ball of wool, of let's say white wool, and ultimately again, or I should say, of blue wool, right? And you have inside of it. So Rashi's example is you have a ball of blue wool that was dyed blue, but some of the strings the dye did not take well. So therefore, what some of the strings in the ball of wool are white. So we'll say that's much harder to discern. So when there's enough light on the horizon to be able to tell the difference between the blue and the white, that's ultimately again when you can say Kriyas Shema. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Mishiyake ben Zev Lekelev. Rabbi Meir says, when there's enough light to be able to tell the difference between a wolf and a dog, at a distance, hopefully. Right, Rabbi says, that's halacha lemaisa, when it's daytime enough to be able to say Shema. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Bein Chamer La'arud. Bein Chamer, I will say, Chamer is a donkey. Arud is a wild donkey. I guess these looked different. So when there's enough light, till they've seen a regular donkey and a wild donkey. The Achirim say, Bose, listen to this. Others say that halacha lemaisa, there's enough light to be able to recognize someone, your friend, at a distance of dalet amos, 6 feet away, and you can still recognize him. Ravuna halacha ka'achirim. Ravuna says the halacha follows the chirim. Bose say actually quite interesting. Rabbaye litfilin ka'achirim lekriyas shema kivasikin. Abaye says, Rabbose, the earliest time for tefillin is what we call the Zman of Mishiyakir. So Rabbose, Mishiyakir is what? When you can recognize a friend at a distance of Dalet Amos. So Rabbose, actually, interesting, the Shulchan Aruch says, by the way, what kind of friend is this? Not your best friend, like someone who you're very close to, you could recognize them very, even very little light. This is someone who's like an acquaintance. When there's enough light to recognize an acquaintance at a distance of Dalet Amos is about 6 feet, that is the time of day that you could begin to put on tefillin. Jose, Zman HaMishiyakir, just understand on the daytime, so when is this? So we'll say Mishiyakir is approximately 5 minutes before sunrise. So just going to say the day, let's assume for a moment that we're operating with the principle that Alos dawn is 72 minutes before sunrise. Mishayakir will be 50 minutes before sunrise, and then of course there's sunrise. So the earliest time for tefillin is Mishayakir. What I will tell you is it's important to know, especially this time of year, Bidiyaved, you could already begin to put tefillin on as early as when? As early as Alos, right? Even as early as dawn, you could begin to put on tefillin. But ideally, supposed to be not before Mishayakir. So the Gemara says, but Kriya Shema should really be done Kivasikin. What does this mean? Damar Biyochan, and I was listening to this, so beautiful. Vasikin Hayugam Osamanei Tzachama. The Vasikin would finish Shema with sunrise. So we'll say what they used to do is as follows. Listen to this. Vasikin Hayugam Osamanei Tzachama. The early ones, what would they do? They would daven Shema right before sunrise so that they could daven Shmona Esrei with sunrise. So that Shmona Esrei ultimately, the ideal placement for Shema, interestingly enough, is right before the sun rises. That you can have smichas geula letfila. We'll discuss in just a moment. Kedeshismo geula letfila. We spoke about this last week. Smichas geula letfila means what? The bracha of Gaal Yisrael, which is the ending bracha, ultimately again of Shema, to be recited, to be juxtaposed to Shmona Esrei. And we'll say, what's the part of smichas geula letfila? The bracha of Gaal Yisrael is the bracha where we praise God for redeeming us from Egypt. There is the idea of juxtaposing that bracha of the Shmona Esrei is that if I truly believe that God redeemed me from Egypt, that ultimately instills me with the ideology that just like God took care of me in the past, God could take care of me now as well. What's the essence of Shmona Esrei? Shmona Esrei is a supplicatory prayer to God to give me all of my needs. How do I reinforce the fact that God can answer and take care of all of my needs contemporarily, presently, by focusing on the fact that God did it historically? The same God that took care of me in Egypt is the same God who can take care of me now as well. That's the power of Smichas Geula Tefillah. So we'll say, what did the Vasikin used to do? The early ones would daven Shema right before sunrise, Bracha of Gal Yisrael right in the moment before sunrise, Shmona Esrei with sunrise. Incredible. On the Zira Mikra, what's the pasuk that supports? We'll say just a few more lines and we'll stop. Mikra. Yira'ucha im shemesh v'lifnei yareach dar darim. So v'heyid Rabbi Yossi ben al-Yakim mishum kila k'disha b'shanayim. So what's a beautiful idea over here? So literally, again, they will see you with the sun v'lifnei yareach before, right, dar darim. Heyid Rabbi Yossi ben al-Yakim mishum kila k'disha b'shanayim. So I say Rabbi Yossi ben al-Yakim gave over testimony in the name of the holy congregation, the kila k'dosha b'shanayim. What's it so beautiful? Kala somekul l'tfila. Whoever juxtaposes the bracha of Gaal Yisrael with Shmona Esrei, Eino Nizuk Kala Yom Kulo, will not be harmed the entire day. Now, I just want to point out the concept also of being Someku Latfila. Rabbosei is ultimately, again, the idea. This is why we try to say the bracha of Gaal Yisrael together with the Chazan. Right? So remember, again, technically speaking, it's ideal not even to answer Amen to the bracha of Gaal Yisrael. Aye, but if I hear a bracha, I have to say amen. So the goal is actually very important, because a lot of times we also make this mistake. The Shliach Tzibur is supposed to say the bracha of Gal Yisrael out loud. Sometimes the Shliach Tzibur kind of trails off Baruch Atah Hashem Gal, and they don't say the last word out loud. The halacha is, the Shliach Tzibur is supposed to say Gal Yisrael out loud. That bracha must be, it's a bracha, must be recited out loud. But the goal is that the Tzibur should say that bracha together with the Chazan. This way, I don't have to answer amen, because I'm saying it with the Chazan, and I go right into Shemona Esrei. Now again, if you're not saying it with the Chazan, you would say amen, and that's okay, you're still good. Amen is not really a hefsek, because a hefsek means something extraneous to what the matter at hand is. Amen is not extraneous, you're answering bracha to the bracha that's here, but the goal is say the bracha with the Chazan says the bracha out loud, and every entire bracha out loud, and everyone goes ultimately again from Gaal Yisrael right into Shemona Esrei. And if you go ahead and apparently you do smichas gula tefillah, you won't be harmed the entire day. I'm Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera says, really? Ini? I don't mean to rain on your parade, but you know, I've done smichas gula tefillah, and I've had days ultimately again that didn't go so well. People say, so this is wild. Watch this. Amr Leib. So Rabbi Zera, tell me, what went wrong? So the Matthias Asala Beimalka. So ultimately, so apparently they knew what Rabbi Zera was talking about. The Rabbi Zera was commanded that he had to bring myrtle branches to the palace. Or else he was taxed. They told him, you have to bring myrtle branches to the palace at your own expense. You have to swallow the expense. So Rabbi Zera says, I did smichas gula tefillah that morning, and yet I still had to bring myrtle branches to the king, and it hurt me in the wallet. So Rabbi says, listen to this. He said to Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Zera, that's not a punishment, but that's a schus. Because the truth is, you should even pay money to be able to see kings. Right? Even if you have to pay money, it's worth it to be able to see great leaders. Then Rabbi Yochanan says, Li'olam yishtadu adam laras likras malchei Yisrael. You should always do whatever you can to go and to see Jewish kings. V'lo likras malchei Yisrael bilvat. And not only Jewish kings, Ella afilu likras malchei akum, but you should even go out every way to see Gentile kings, to see Gentile rulers. Why? Shem yiske yavchin ben malchei Yisrael malchei akum. Because also, what is saying? Shem yiske. Rashi points out, if you get a ticket, if you get to go to Olam Haba, and you get to see what real Gnesset Rosh said, what the Gemara is saying is like this. It's good to be able to see great people in this world, royalty in this world. Because when you see royalty, you see all the pomp that goes on around them. You see how much chashivas royalty is given. Well, after 120, when you go to Olam Haba, and you see the royalty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll be able to see the real distinction between human royalty and celestial royalties. They said, Rabbi Zera, you think something bad happened to you, that you were forced to bring myrtle branches to the king. It's a schus. Because that gave you what? That gave you entry into the palace. That gave you the ability to behold Gentile monarchy. And it's an incredible schus to be able to see greatness in this world. Besides the fact that there is a special bracha that ultimately, again, is made when seeing someone who wields great power. The Gemara goes weiter. I'm going to be l'ula. Ki aylis l'hasam. So we'll finish with this. So ultimately, Rabbi Lo said to Ula, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, Sha'il b'shalma d'Rav Barona achi. Go ahead and give shalom to Rav Barona, my brother. B'maimad kol ha'chabura, and give him shalom in front of all the other rabbis. Why? The Adam gadol hu b'sameach b'mitzos. Rav Barona is a great man, and he finds so much joy in performance. I'm supposed to listen to this. Because I remember one time, Zimna chada samach gul l'tfila. One time, my brother, Rav Barona, was somech gul l'tfila. He juxtaposed the bracha of Gal Yisrael. Ultimately, again, to davening, and what? For the pasuk chukam mipume kuliyoma. He couldn't stop smiling the whole day. The Rebbe said he was so happy that he got to be somech geula l'tfila that he could not stop smiling the whole day. So I say, Satosis points out, but everybody somech geula l'tfila every day. So Tosa says it must be that day he davened vasikin. He davened vasikin. And the opportunity to daven vasikin and be somech geula l'tfila. Rebbe said, which understand the Moser? Rebbe said, how many times does a mitzvah put a smile on our face, let alone the entire day? Rebbe said, our job is not just to perform our mitzvahs, but ultimately, again, to find joy, in davening, to find joy in tefillah b'tzibur, to find joy in mitzvahs, to find joy in learning, to the point that when you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it puts a smile on your face. Rav Barona was a great man. Why? Because they both say, when he was so mech gul l'tefillah, mamish, he felt like he hit the lottery, he hit the jackpot. What is the chus? To be so mech gul l'tefillah puts a smile on my face the entire day. Hechi matzi sam. So we'll say, fine, one more line, then we'll stop. We'll say, so how can you, so 1 second, there's a problem. How can you do smichas gul l'tefillah? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan b'tchilas, hu omer Hashem sefasai tiftach, ulubasof omer yu l'ratzan en refi. So how can you be so mekula tefillah? After all, again, it says, Rabbi Yochanan says, that before Shmona Esrei, you say Hashem Sefasai Tiftach. So Hashem Sefasai Tiftach is what Rabbi Yochanan says. It's a hefsek. It's an interruption. To which the Gemara says, okay, Tehei betfilah sha'arvis. Maybe, when Rabbi Yochanan says that you should say Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, maybe that's what? Maybe that's a reference to Ma'ariv. Only by Ma'ariv, where there's no Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, where there's no Smichas Gula Tefillah, maybe that's where you should go in and say Hashem Sefasai Tiftach. But that's not true. But even by Ma'ariv, there's a concept of Smichas Gula Tefillah. So how can you say Hashem Sefasai Tiftach by Ma'ariv as well? Maybe Hashem Sefasai Tiftach is only recited by Mincha, because by Shacharis and by Ma'ariv, there's what? There's an obligation of smichas gula l'tefillah. So maybe the only time I should say Hashem Sefasai Tiftach is by Mincha. Rav Ashi Yomar says, no. Afilu tima kulu. No. You say Hashem Sefasai Tiftach by Shacharis, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. Aye. But what do I do by Shacharis and by Ma'ariv, where there's a din of smichas gula l'tefillah? Doesn't Hashem Sefasai Tiftach interrupt? To which the Gemara says, no. Since the rabbis instituted Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, essentially what? It becomes part of davening. It becomes part of Shemona Esrei, and therefore it's not a hefsek. Because again, if you don't say this, Arvis Hechim Mati Samech, then how do you have Smichas Gula Tefillah by Ma'ariv? Remember, we'll say, by Ma'ariv, you have a bigger problem. Not just Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, but after the bracha of Gal Yisrael, Gol Yisrael, so what do you have? You have Hashkiveinu. You have to say that, just like Hashkivenu, once the rabbis institute it becomes an elongated part of Geula, so to Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, once the rabbis institute it, it becomes a prolonged part of Shmona Esrei itself.